If you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. That's where we're going to be starting at today. And kind of how we've been doing it with this series, we've been going to different verses throughout the Bible, and today is going to be no different, but all the references are there in your notes. But we started off this series by talking about spiritual warfare, and that's kind of been the premise behind this series. And so we started talking about spiritual warfare and the fact that even though we live in a very real and physical world, there's also an equally real and incredibly important spiritual world. And there is a spiritual battle going on in that spiritual world, and that battle affects the physical. And so we started out the conversation with that, and we learned that we don't battle against other people, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against the powers and the principalities of that spiritual world, and more specifically the kingdom of darkness that is trying to combat against God's kingdom. And so that was the first week, kind of just laying the base for everything else that we talked about. And then the second week, we talked about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who He is and what His role is in the life of believers and followers of Christ, and how the Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us power, and it aids us in the spiritual battles that we go through. And then last week, we looked at the demonic forces and Satan, the enemy, the one that brings the battle to us. And we recognized and learned about what their goal is and their mission is, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. They are trying to pull us away from God, and they're trying to keep others that don't know God away from Him. And that is their one and only goal. And they will do so by any means possible. And so we talked about that last week. And today, we're going to look at God's spiritual beings. Another word is angels. We're going to be talking about angels. Because truthfully, there's a lot of people that really don't understand what the role of angels are within the spiritual world and how they aid us. And there are a lot of misconceptions about angels. And a lot of that is due to Hollywood and TV and movies and those kinds of things. I grew up with misconceptions about angels. How many of you have ever watched the show Touched by an Angel? Quite a few of you. That was like a favorite growing up in my household. My mom watched it like every single week. And it's as entertainment, it is good and it's wholesome and it really does present a good message. But within it, there are some misconceptions that it leads us to about angels. And like I said, my family used to watch it growing up all the time. But there's other pictures of angels that we often think of. You get the little naked baby with wings and the harp. How many of you have thought of that when you think of angels? Okay, not so many of you, but that's a picture that we often see when they associate something with angels. The chubby little cherubs are a picture. Or maybe you think of angels in the outfield. We have these misconceptions about angels. But what we need to understand is, according to Scripture, angels are God's servants. They are God's servants. They are supernatural beings created by God and for God's glory. They do the exact bidding and the work of God. And what's amazing is that these spiritual beings are so fierce and so intense that they can lay waste to thousands of individuals, yet at the same time be so gentle and caring to protect a single child. They're absolutely amazing. And what's interesting is that although they're very likely at this place right now, even though we may not be able to see them, they're very likely here on the spiritual side of things, that there are times when angels actually show up looking like us, show up looking like human beings. And we see this in Hebrews 13:1-2. And it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. And for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And so we have this, like I said, this misconception of angels, the flying naked babies, or I always imagined them when I was little as these really tall, really big, immense beings that had long flowing hair like Fabio, had white silky robes that shone with a golden brilliance and had these feathery wings of like a 10-foot wingspan. Like that was my idea of what an angel was. And I kind of got that from Angels in the Outfield a little bit because I grew up watching that movie. And that's kind of the image they present just a little bit, but then I embellished upon it because I was like, there's no way that's real. They're a lot better looking. They're a lot bigger. They're, you know, I embellished upon it, you know. And so that was kind of the idea. And there's, like I said, that misconception of what they may look like. Yet Scripture tells us that they can look like normal people. In fact, if you look throughout the Bible, we read accounts of people talking to angels and not realizing that they were in fact talking to an angel until either something happened that they realized, oh, this isn't a normal person, or that individual revealed themselves to be an angel of God by saying so. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. If you saw a really big, shiny, bright person, or a little flying, chubby baby with a harp, you'd probably be like, I'm going crazy. I should not have eaten that gas station burrito. I don't know what's going on. Like, just, I'm going nuts. And so it kind of makes sense that they would appear to us as humans. And don't get me wrong, they can appear as these immense individuals, as these powerful individuals. They can do that. But probably more often than not, they appear to us as another person would. But why? Why would they take the form, instead of being an immense, powerful being, why would they take the form of looking like another person to us, appearing as a regular person? And I think for us to answer that question, we have to ask and answer this question: who and what are angels? And we're going to look at Scripture of to get the to answer that question. And we're going to show three really, there's three major roles that angels play, three things that they do throughout Scripture that are kind of, this defines who angels are and what they do. And the first, I'm going to kind of go through these pretty quickly because I want to get to baptism. I'm really excited about it. the first is angels are worshipers. They are worshipers. And this, you might be thinking, well, okay, that kind of makes sense, but why is that important? Well, it's through worship that angels declare who God is. And it shows that they are under God's authority when they do so. Hebrews 1:6 says, when he again brings his firstborn into the world, he says, and all God's angels must worship him. This is a command by God, saying that all my angels must worship Jesus, because Jesus is the King, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Savior, therefore you must worship him. And so that is one of his commands to the angels is you must worship, to signify that you are mine, that you are under my authority, and that you are a servant. And this may sound weird that even though they are created by God and they were created to be his servants, to do his will and his bidding, angels are willful servants. They are willful servants, and I'll point that out to you just simply by saying Lucifer himself was once an angel and rebelled, and he has his followers who were once angels. And so angels themselves have a willful following. They were able to make that decision of whether they followed God or they didn't. And so they are willful followers of God. And so he commands them that you are to worship my son, who is the Savior and who is also God. And that is his command. And so again, this shows that they are under God and they follow him by doing so. They worship God and they worship Jesus. In Revelations 5, 11 through 12, it says, it tells us this. Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Angels are worshipers. This isn't something we often think about when it comes to angels, yet it is one of the most prominent things that they do. All throughout Revelation, it talks about choruses of angels singing, shouting praises to God and about God. Even when they revealed themselves to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born, a host of them appeared and they sang. They sang about what was happening. They are worshipers. And because of that, it gives us an example to follow in worship. So angels are worshipers. That's the first thing that they are. And second, this one's my favorite. Angels are warriors. Angels are warriors. This is an aspect of angels that I love thinking about. It might be just because it's a guy thing. But when you see a figurine of an angel, it's usually, you know, it's hard to say it, but they look weak and soft, and there's not an immensity to them. They look like pushovers. You know, there are some paintings that depict them as these mighty warriors, but a majority of them show them kind of hovering lightly over individuals. And it gives us this idea that angels aren't something that is powerful, but that they are just something simply watching over, when in fact they are warriors. They are God's army. They are tough. They are strong. They are, in fact, battle-hardened. 2 Kings 19:35, it gives us this picture of how angels are warriors. This is a time where the king is, his name is Hezekiah, and the Syrians are getting ready to attack. And so he's praying to God, and he sends word to different priests and individuals asking for prayer, and he gets a response back from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah gives them a long list of things that are going to happen, and there's prophecy within it. But at the end of it, it says this, and this is 2 Kings 19:35. It says, "That night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies." Angels are fierce beings. They are warriors. A few weeks ago, we used the scripture from 2 Kings where Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of the servant as the city was surrounded, and he saw chariots of fire with these angels. They are immense warriors. They are battle-hardened. Again, this is an aspect that we sometimes don't associate with angels, yet it is one of the primary reasons they are here. Revelations 12:7, "Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels." There's already been a battle that has happened, and these angels have partaken in it. They are battle-hardened, and they have already fought Satan and his demonic forces and pushed them out of heaven. This is important for us to know because they are, in fact, God's army. And God says that he will send his armies to stand by our side. So it's nice to know that they are, in fact, warriors. And the third, angels are messengers. This is probably the most notable capacity in which we see angels bringing a message from God to someone. From the Old Testament, Judges 6:12, an angel is bringing a message to Gideon from God. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And then following this, he gives instruction of what he needs to do, of what is going to happen. And this is another instance where somebody didn't recognize an angel, because the angel said, "Lord is with you, mighty warrior," to Gideon. And Gideon's like, "What are you talking about? I'm the least in my family, my clan is, and my family is the least in my tribe. I don't know what you're talking about." And then he finds out, oh, this dude is for real. This isn't just Joe Schmo talking to me. This is somebody that is from God. And he gives instruction of what he's supposed to do, and getting us scared, and he even tests it out a little bit. And finally, when he realizes, oh, this is really for real, the angel gives him the instruction to go and tear down certain altars to false gods. And he says, you need to go and prepare for a battle that is coming. And gives him the instructions that is needed so that the nation of Israel will be saved from its enemies and then turn back to God. But then we also see it in the New Testament, in Luke 1, 30 through 31, part of the Christmas story. It says, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Angels are God's messengers. He gives them the instructions to tell us at times. Yes, God works through the Holy Spirit. He works through the Scriptures to reveal things to us. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to things that we need to know. And in prayer, we hear things from God through the Holy Spirit. Yet there are times when God needs to send an individual to tell us what to do. Angels are God's messengers. They were created by God and are his willful servants in the spiritual world. That is who angels are. They are worshipers, they are warriors, and they are God's messengers. And it's through those avenues that we see what angels do under God's authority. And there are three things that I want to point out to you that angels do. Three things that are important for us to know, especially as we navigate through spiritual warfare. First, being that angels are God's messengers, angels give direction. Angels give direction, and direction that we need to heed because it is, in fact, God's direction. The message is that God sends through his angels. They're not like the ones from middle school that you're trying to send to your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you know, a little write on a piece of note and pass it over and you read it, so do you like me, check yes or no. It's not those kinds of messages. They are messages that are of importance. They're weighty. And oftentimes these messages carry with them an importance that doesn't just affect you, but affects several others. And so they are messages that need to be heeded. And within that message, the angel then gives us direction. Tells us, here are the steps that you need to do. Here's what is going to happen next. We see this in Matthew 1:20. And this is about Joseph. And it's, but after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was given direction, trying to decide what to do. I should divorce her quietly, keep my honor intact, keep a little bit of her honor intact. Instead of stoning her, instead of humiliating her, just divorcing her quietly, we'll go our own separate ways. And an angel said, no, 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 you're not going to do that. You need to take her as your wife. Because the child that she is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. It is from God. You need to take her as your wife. And so an angel gave him direction. And we see this again soon after the Magi appear. He has another dream where an angel of the Lord appears to him and says, hey, you need to leave. Herod is coming, and if you stay, you will die. You need to flee to Egypt. Again, giving direction and guidance in what he should do. In one instance, it was him trying to decide. In another instance, it was direction from something that he had no idea about. Angels give us direction, especially direction when it concerns God's will. When it concerns God's will for our own lives, angels will give us direction. Next, angels protect you from danger. It would make sense that a warrior would be by our side if God sent them. And so it makes sense that they would protect us from danger. And occasionally, you know, I've had people ask, you know, are there guardian angels? Does everybody have a guardian angel? And truthfully, Scripture never says that everyone has a guardian angel or that, in fact, there are specific guardian angels. But what we do know from Scripture is that God does send angels to protect us. In the New Testament, when Peter was locked up in prison for proclaiming the gospel, he is chained up. He's wanting to be free. He can't be free. He's locked up by Herod. And he knows that at some point, if he doesn't escape or isn't let go, he is going to be executed. That is the reality of where he is sitting at in prison. And we see this in Acts 12, 7 through 8, and then verse 11. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. Striking Peter on the side, he woke him up and said, "Quick, get up." Then the chains fell off his wrists. "Get dressed," the angel told him, "and put on your sandals." And he did so. "Wrap your cloak around you," he told him, "and follow me." In verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent me an angel and rescued me from Herod's grasp and from all that the Jewish people expected." God sends his angels to protect us. He sends them to protect us from the dark spiritual forces that are trying to tear us away from him, from the dark spiritual forces that are trying to keep people from knowing who he is. We are in a spiritual war. We go to battle. And God says that he will send individuals. He will send an army to be by our side, and that is his angels. That is the warriors that they are to come and be right beside us. At times, it happens in the physical, like it did with Peter. A time when we know, I was just protected by something. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I was protected by something. That should have happened to me, and it didn't. I should have been struck by something, but I wasn't. I should have walked into this trap, but I didn't. I have no idea why. Other times, we may not even realize it. We may not even realize it until we look back and realize fully what was going on. And then we go, there was something at work. There is something more than I can explain that happened, and I don't know why. I couldn't have told you it in the midst of it. I couldn't see it in the midst of it. But now that I look back, I can see that God was protecting me from something. God uses his angels to protect us. So angels give direction, they protect us, and third, angels minister to us. Angels are God's servants. God created them to worship him and to do his will and do his bidding. And as servants of God, they can minister God's love, his healing, and his power to us. Scripture says this in Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels are ministering servant spirits sent to serve those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. You might be thinking, well, I don't know that I've ever been served or ministered to by an angel. I think I would remember that. I think I would remember a time when somebody from God came and ministered to me, when they took care of me, when they gave me direction or they protected me. I think I would recognize an angel, but I would say a majority of the time we don't. Let's go back to that first verse that we brought out, Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it. Angels are servants of God who are doing his will. And when they come and minister to us, they are doing his will, providing us with his love, with his care, with his comfort, with his power. Why would they come in a way in which we would not recognize them? Because they don't want us to give glory to them. They want us to give glory to God. They are God's servants, meant to reflect God's glory and push it back to him. And you may be thinking, well, if I knew that they're an angel, I would definitely give glory to God. But instead of thinking God right away, would you not think an angel first? They don't want the glory given to them. They want the glory given to God. And so they come to us not as these great angelic beings in which we will look at them and say thank you to them, but as people that we don't even recognize, as strangers giving a helping hand, as a stranger who is showing God's love, as a stranger who fills you with a peace, and then goes on their way, not so you can say thank you to them, but so you can thank God for them. Angels minister to us so that we continue to praise and honor God and point others to Him. You know, in this series, we touch on a lot of intense things, talking about spiritual warfare, the reality of what it is, how it impacts us, and whether we want to be a part of it or not, what it can and does do to us. We talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, the things that it grants us, and when it fills us, allowing us to live a life that is supernatural, combating in our own spiritual battles against Satan and his demonic forces. We talked about the power that Satan and his demons have and what they are trying to do, their goal that they are trying to accomplish and how they're trying to do it. And today, talking about the spiritual beings, God's angels, and how they aid us, the things that they bring to us in God's message, the way that they present themselves, not always as these great spiritual angelic beings, but as a neighbor, as a friend, or as a stranger. My hope is as we've gone through this series, you've come to realize the spiritual battles that are going on in your life, the things that you can do to help equip yourself by diving into God's Word, by praying intensely for yourself and for others, so we can see how God's Spirit is an aid to us, how it can fill us and give us the power that we need, how God's angels are, in fact, by our side and aiding us. As you prepare and engage in spiritual battle, there's one thing I want you to never forget. This is something I said the very first week, which is we do not fight for victory in our spiritual battles. We do not fight for victory, but we fight from a place of victory because of what Jesus did on the cross. Never forget that. Because there are going to be times when you feel like you have to fight for victory because you feel like you are losing. But cling to what Jesus did on the cross, and you will fight from a place of already having victory. Because you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He has already defeated Satan on the cross and defeated death by rising from the grave. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you give us, whether we see it or not. And God, as we navigate through life trying to seek out your will for us, God, and live out the calling that you have placed upon us, God, there are going to be battles. Battles in which the enemy will try and push us down, push us away from you, God. And it's in those times that we are so thankful for what your Son did on the cross. We are thankful for your Spirit that fills us with power, God. And we thank you for the heavenly beings that you send to be by our side. And God, I just ask that you would fill our hearts with a peace. And knowing that whatever battles we are going through, God, whatever struggles that we have, whether they are showing up in the physical or right now they're still in the spiritual, God, that we have a hope in you that is far stronger than what Satan is throwing at us, is far stronger than what he is attacking us with, God. And God, I just ask that you would send a covering to protect us. We ask that you would send your Spirit to fill us with your peace, with your hope, with your power, God. And that you would send your servants, the angels, to be by our side to protect us, to give us direction, God, and to minister to us, God, when we are broken and we are hurting. God, just pray for those individuals right now who are hurting, who are broken, who are seeking understanding through what they're going through, God. That through it all, you would calm their heart. And they would be able to look up and they would be able to see Christ. To see the power that He gives, the hope that we have through Him, God. God, we love you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.